Hi there, I'm Oisin Lunny and welcome to the Audio Talks podcast presented to you by Harman. Now, this is the podcast where we explore the sound of tomorrow. And today we are here in the Brat Store, Youngblood's Brat Store in Denmark Street in Soho at the heart of London town. And we are going to meet some people who are empowering creatives through audio innovation. I'm absolutely thrilled to be joined by this power trio right here. We got Bobby Bradley and Elle Scholl from Special Music Projects. How you doing, Bobby? Are you well?
I'm very good, thank you.
Absolutely brilliant. And Elle, how about your good self?
I'm excellent. I loved Power Trio as an intro.
This is the Power Trio right here. And rounding off our trio of awesomeness, we've got the great Ed Jackson from Harman and JBL. How the devil are you, my friend?
Very good.
Fabulous. All right, so I thought we'd start with a really intriguing question, and it's one that I'm very intrigued about. I'm looking at yourself, Elle, with that fantastic t-shirt you have on. What exactly is BRAT?
BRAT, well, it stands for Beautifully Romanticized, Accidentally Traumatized, as I'm repping here, which is Dom Youngblood's creation. He actually had that vision like several years ago when he was just spray painting it on the back of jackets. And somehow it's evolved into this crazy physical space, venue, shop, like art form, which we're running, we're making happen. So yeah, it's a fashion and lifestyle brand, but it's about the community around it and like the what that brings to the fashion. So we always say that's just a medium that we use to like express ourselves, and actually at the core of it, it's like the people. So bringing together all these amazing people that we know that are doing really cool shit and getting them in one place and making that tangible. So it's more than just a t-shirt.
I love it. That's amazing. And it is such a cool space. We're here in the basement in Denmark Street.
The Brat Cave.
The Brat Cave. Oh, that's fantastic. Absolutely. The place is covered with graffiti. There's even graffiti all over the pool table over there. And we've actually got some very nice pro audio equipment here, courtesy of our dear friends at JBL. And we're going to be jumping into that in a little while. So this is possibly one of the coolest places in London that you could possibly work. And it is a work of art, it's a work of fashion, it's a work of creativity. But, you know, I'm kind of wondering, what kind of path do you have to follow to actually end up here, working here? And, you know, I'd love to start with yourself, Bobby. Was there, you know, anything that kind of brought you here, would you say? And how do you end up running the Brat Cave?
Yeah, it's not necessarily a, like, formal path, but I think it's just knowing the right people and being around the right people and wanting kind of the same thing or experiencing similar things and having a similar mentality. And like I was saying, I think like the main thing of Brat and what we're trying to do in this basement and this space and with the clothing and with the events is expression and like freedom of expression, whether that's wearing the clothes and feeling good in them, whether that's playing music in the basement, or whether that's just being a fan of the music and letting go, all of that. It feels very much like expression. And, you know, I've fallen into this just by knowing the right people, but it's the reason that I've stayed and been so passionate about it is because it feels like everyone's on that same page, you know?
Yeah, you found your tribe. That's really inspiring. I love it. And Elle, how about yourself? You're creative director of Brat. And like, how did you end up being the creative director?
Well, actually, kind of similarly. I used to work at a pub called the Holy Arms. I'm sure you've all heard of it, in Camden Town. It's very much like a part of our story, isn't it? It's like our spiritual home away from home. So I worked there for ages, and I met Dom there at his Youngblood, at his NME Awards after party, when he had his little yellow skirt on and blazer. And we just immediately became friends. Dom was like, "You're a fucking witch." And I was like, "You are." And he was like, And then we were mates for years. And then I was doing my own clothing line called Flower Girl. And I sent Dom a couple of pieces, Dom and Jesse Joe. And it featured the logo from a goth club in the 80s called the Brat Cave, which is like a bat. And then it's got some cool hand-drawn lettering on it. And Dom was like, that's fucking sick. And then he was like, wait, I need someone to design my clothing line. Do you want to do that? And I was like, do I want to come and be creative director of my best mate's clothing brand in Soho? Yeah, probably, yeah, I do. And then from there, we just built outwards. It was like me and you at the beginning, wasn't it? Yeah. We always say me and Bobby literally built this place. Like, well, you as well, actually. Me, Bobby and Ed built this place.
Fantastic.
The power trio built this place. So yeah, and then from there, we've just like expanded our network of like amazing people. So now my best mate, Nancy, she was making the cushions, and now she's our like senior designer. And a friend of a friend, Amber, she works on like socials, and it just keeps growing and expanding. And it's, yeah, that's the heart of it. Forgot what the question was.
I know, you've answered it perfectly. I love that story. That's brilliant. It's all about serendipity, connection, and kind of connecting with people who are on the same wavelength above all.
Massively,
and that's kind of brought you to this incredible thing that you've all co-created, which is absolutely unique. And speaking of which, coming over to your good self, Ed, now you must have one of the most interesting jobs in pro audio in the world. You work with folks like, you know, the biggest, best clubs in Ibiza. You work with the biggest, best churches in the world and the biggest religions in the world. And you work with the Brat Store right here in Denmark Street in Soho. Talk to us a bit about how you came to be working here and what was your kind of path into this really unique space in pro audio.
So the path coming into here is I saw, I feel a bit weird calling him Dom, young blood, but Dom, did an article in one of the national papers about how he was opening a venue. I thought, well, that's what I do. And I did I'm not usually very good on social media, but I thought, right, I'm going to push to get in touch with someone. I managed to get in touch with Dom's management, who introduced me to Al. And came down and met her there. And again, it was just instantly like, I'm doing this. And just embrace the chaos. Because I think the next bit was like, oh, yeah, we're doing the opening thing in 3 weeks' time or something like that.
I think it was a week.
And, yeah, all of a sudden just jumped straight in. But part of it is that it's the energy that's just a fun thing to be around. I mean, you know, everyone's about the technology and the music. But if you don't have that energy and that, you know, sort of chaotic good feeling, then, yeah, you're missing out on something, I think. And that's got it in spades here.
I love it. That's brilliant. So, again, about finding people who are on the same wavelength. And, you know, I think it seems like there's a certain magnetism between all of you to you know, come together and make this happen in a week. You know, you need a certain mindset to be able to say, you know what, yeah, we're going to do that and it's going to happen and we will bring all this stuff and it's going to be perfect. So that's just beautiful. But it's also a space for education and for folks to learn about pro audio and to learn new things. And you're kind of balancing together, you know, fans and music and culture and education in a really unique way. I mean, how do you kind of approach this in terms of the original vision? What was the original vision behind the space and what it was meant to accomplish?
The original vision was that it became like a genuine third space where people could come and just exist. They don't have to like buy something. They don't even have to buy a coffee to come and just be here. It's like somewhere for people to meet, to hang out. There's the music element. It's almost like a bit of a shrine to Youngblood down here. But also you see people like using it to discover new music, or like sometimes we let the kids like play through the speakers on their phone and they listen to their own music down here, and it's like an actual hangout space in the daytime. And we do see like lots of the fans will come in and they'll be like, is anyone downstairs, Bobby? And Bob's will be like, yeah, such and such is down here. And it's like a proper. And then also we've got the music side of it as discussed, and then the education side as well. So we use this space for we'll talk more about that side of the education, but for like workshops. We've had a zine making workshop down here. Has the badge making one happened yet? No, that's happening soon, a badge making one. And we also have within the Youngblood universe, YBHQ, which is it's Youngblood's fan platform. So that is like a subscribe for access platform where people get like behind the scenes content and access to like these free workshops where they can come to the Brat Cave and make something with like the team. So it's about, again, it's about community and like bringing people together. We're in a really fucking cool space.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like basically just following on what Elle said of like hanging around Soho and going into places in Soho. And look, I'm young, so I've only really experienced it in the last like 5-6 years, but it does sometimes feel you walk in somewhere and everybody's a little bit jaded and judgy and looking you up and down. What are you wearing? Should you be here? Like, you sat in a cafe looking around like, am I like, these lot are wearing this and I can afford that, or I'm not, you know, I haven't bought that yet, and like, am I meant to be here? And me personally experiencing that in loads of shops in Soho and just generally, I was like, I just don't want people to feel like that. Don't get me wrong, I might be tired, I might not give you as much energy as I can always, but I think very much like my ambition with the shop is just people can, whatever the fuck you look like or whatever you, where you come from, what you can afford to wear, whatever, just come and hang out. And like, it doesn't need to be like, oh, am I cool enough? It's just like, and you know, all ages, whatever, we'll just come hang out and feel safe and feel like free to be in it. And it's a pretty cool space to be able to just come and hang. Yeah,
what I love is that we have like the Youngblood fans come who are like, actually they are an all a mix of ages, but people will like make a pilgrimage here to, you know, leave a message for Dom or whatever. But then we also have like our mates who are in bands coming, yeah, and hanging out, or like changing their guitar strings down here, yeah, or, and we'll have like friends who are modeling for us or whatever. It's like a real like motley crew of people coming, yeah, through the doors, which is sick. That's mm-hmm. what we wanted, you mm-hmm. know.
Phenomenal. So you are actually building a genuine community, and it's, yeah, very inclusive.
It's actually grassroots. Like, we actually, yeah, did it. Like, yeah, and Dom, yeah, did as well. Like, yeah, for all his like fame now, especially in this last year, he's mm-hmm. got like super famous. He's like here putting the work in, you know. It's cool. It's really cool.
That's awesome. And like, how do you want people to feel when they leave here after they've experienced it for the first time? What's the takeaway?
It's interesting. I want them to feel part of summit.
Yeah.
Like, not alone, yeah, you know, which is the whole ethos behind the Youngblood fan base as well as Brat. Yeah, I want them to feel part of summit. What about you?
It's a tricky question. Part of is good. Yeah, I think for me, being also, I mean, same as you are, like artsy and artistic, I want it to potentially be a space. And I know a lot of kids who come down here and then, you know, send me their music and want to play downstairs, but maybe to just feel a little bit more like they've, I don't know, like maybe express something more. I don't know. I come back to that, mm-hmm. but yeah.
That's a good, yeah. Like they've got a bit of themselves out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're really helping them open something up and kind of experience new things in a very, really genuine way, I think. It's very special. But this brings me over to your good self, Ed. Now, the world of pro audio, you know, if you see like a mixing desk or the back of some of these great speakers here, it can sometimes feel overwhelming. It can feel maybe intimidating because, you know, if you haven't...
Yeah, I get intimidated all the time.
Right, absolutely. So, you know, but you're making it actually accessible and fun and interesting. I mean, what's your approach to opening up the world of pro audio for the folks who are visiting and who are part of this great community?
It's quite a big question because you're talking to a whole load of different people on a whole load of different levels. And certainly one thing that goes back to what these two are saying is that if I'm coming in here to do a bit of work setting it up or a bit of work sort of tidying up, there will be people sitting here who I'll just start chatting with. And they're, you know, sort of quite wide range demographic, quite wide age range, but some of them are quite young and they're just interested in chatting about it. And so you just talk in a, you know, as supportive a way as you can. And then part of it is when you're trying to get someone to work with the system a bit more, and I'm helping Bobby become, you know, the lead sound engineer here. And sometimes the thing is, you know what, I just actually have to let him make his mistakes sometimes, because that's how he's going to learn properly. But on the other hand, he knows that he can always phone me, you know, later on if we need to actually look at something.
Yeah, I think Ed's defo made it like super accessible for us, especially me, because Bobby plays music and is in bands and mixes music and have all your drum plugins and shit. But I don't. So for me, it's like it's super technical and outside of my world. But Ed's like made it really easy for us to understand every element of it. And like even I could probably set up a sound desk because Ed's so thorough that he's like shown us everything. Which the story that I was telling you about, the boring story, but I think it's interesting, is when we first set this room up.
I like this story.
yeah, because Ed was right in it. I was adamant that we should have these massive speakers either side of this bit, and that should be the stage over there where that little room is.
Very, very strong opinions about that.
Massive. If it wasn't obvious, I have very strong opinions generally. But yeah, I was adamant. So we did it that way. And it was fine for the launch day. It went fine. And then after the launch day, which...
It was fine for the people who were upstairs and weren't working down here.
Yeah. It's fine for me. Okay. After that, which we had 5 or 6 bands play down here, middle of summer, crazy hot, crazy busy. Ed was here all day. Bobby was... you were working upstairs. We were running around like headless chickens. After all that, Ed was so... like dead set that the best way to set it up would be this way, which it is currently. He, after all those bands, moved the speakers around and called me down and was like, come and have a look, this is better. And as soon as he did it, I was like, yeah, it is better, fuck's sake. But now we've kept it, and I think that just speaks to like Ed's like the way that Ed has jumped in and been a part of the team and his passion for making the space the best that it can be, in the same way that we do.
And I think part of it is because it's such an unusual venue, and you've got people coming down here to hang out, you've got people coming down here to do training sessions about other things. It was key to make it so that it's easy to work with that. So it's again putting the monitors on the ceiling. Do you remember when we spoke about that?
It's like,
that sounds bonkers, but it works because it means that people can use this space. Bobby can come in and do a stage set up very quickly because you're not pulling the speakers out, you're not having to worry about plug things in, etc.
It's like ready to go.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful space. I love it. It's like the kind of thing, you feel excited the minute you walk in here. But I'm wondering, because you've kind of been on this journey together, and Ed, you spoke about, you know, young people being here and just coming up and asking questions. Have you ever had a light bulb moment happen in front of you when you've been demonstrating something or just setting something up and you've just seen it click?
Yes, but on so many different levels. And to think of a particular time, it's more about my light bulb moments when I sort of think, oh no, that was the right thing to say. And the thing with the audio world is that it's so many different ways of talking about different things that you're trying to achieve, that to be able to cover it all as one person or as one conversation, it's sort of huge. I think that was one of the things that's made it a bit easier for me to work with these guys, is that I've realised that I don't know everything, and I'm coming back and having my journey from the start of it as well, and just trying to, you know, have fun with it. I think that's the most important thing, sort of embrace the chaos and have fun.
Fantastic. Light bulbs everywhere. Yeah. I'm saying that's just beautiful. Great. And
neon light bulbs.
Bright red ones.
Big neon light bulbs. I love it. So this is not my first time in Denmark Street. I used to come here in the 90s, believe it or not, my friends. Oh, yes. Sick. Used to come to the 12 Bar Club and hang out. And it was just a great place for music. And, you know, but that was a very different time. There were no phones. There were, you know, podcasting wasn't really a thing. And so here we are, 2026. And young people today have access to more tools than they've ever had before in terms of making music, making podcasts, making content. I mean, do we think that these new technological tools are changing what it means to be a creator in 2026?
I mean, it definitely is. And in some ways it's making it easier, and in some ways it's giving people so much choice that you can get a bit blind to the decisions that you're making. And I think also when it's all technology, it can sometimes get a bit lonely or a bit isolating. So the important thing is being able to bring people into the same room and actually have that human contact, which is the, you know, just as important thing about music and finding your tribe and being able to talk to people. I think that's what having a real space that people can come into is important. And certainly working with these two, it's been brilliant seeing that and seeing their sort of energy going into it. It makes it a lot easier to get excited about supporting it. And so got a new present for you guys.
A present!
We are...
Oh my gosh, what is it?
It's this guitar amp thing that we were talking about.
Oh, shit.
So this is the new JBL Bandbox. And what we wanted to do is put a couple of these in so that all the people that are coming down, if anyone wants to play the guitar through it, it's a perfect little guitar amp. It's got all the effects on it. It's got a great app.
I just pressed on, sorry.
You're learning the technical stuff. It's great. Getting out of your comfort zone. And then people can Bluetooth their own music to it, and then it will cut out either the vocals or the guitar or the drums so that people can come down and be learning songs that they want to do. And it makes it, again, you mentioned Denmark Street, and Denmark Street's amazing, but as someone that's starting off as a musician, it can be a bit intimidating going into one of those shops because you, again, feel, right, am I ever going to be able to buy anything? Am I allowed to touch one of the guitars because I haven't got the amount of money to pay for it? So the idea that talking to Bobby, we will get a couple of guitars down here, we will make it easier for people to come down, play, get that confidence, and then maybe they're taking their journey a bit further from that.
Mm-hmm. So cool.
Very cool.
The kids are going to fucking love
these. They will love these. Oh, they're amazing.
They'll come down. We had some of our regulars come down and do karaoke once. They brought their own karaoke machine and were like singing down. Well, they were like, can we do it? We're like, yeah.
So this will be perfect for that as well.
Yeah. They'll be learning Fleabag.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah. We'll have a Fleabag corner.
And then taking the sign.
Fleabag corner.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's very wicked.
I think people will love it. To be honest, our mates will love it as well.
Yeah, they will.
You're going to be fiddling about
it. It's going to be my favourite toy.
What are you learning first?
Well, considering I know Fleabag, another Youngblood song.
Yeah. What's a shredder? An Adam Warrington shredder.
Oh, hello, heaven.
Love
good
it.
Choice.
So cool.
Oh my God. Excellent. Ed, what's the name of that?
It's the Bandbox Trio.
Bandbox Trio. All right, folks. Amazing. This is just beautiful. I look forward to hearing what's going to happen down here with that Bandbox Trio. That's just fantastic. But, you know, this is maybe a good example of the kind of balance you're striking here. It's obviously an artist-led pop-up space. It's a space for community. It's a space for people to come. But you're kind of balancing entertainment and education as well, because it is about unlocking these new skills and experiencing new things. I mean, how do you approach getting that balance right?
I think it's important that it's all done in like whoever's coming here's pace. So like they have the opportunity to try out all these things, but nobody's like forcing them. You don't have to book a session. You don't have to like feel that pressure. It's just like open and free, which is, I think, not to be like a big fat liberal, but I think that is how the which I am, by the way, but I think that's how everybody learns best, is being given the tools to experiment with and being let loose to do it however they want, which is, I mean, that's kind of...
And also have people that are the same level of them that are making the same mistakes as well makes it part of the fun.
Yeah
definitely. Yeah. And have that, it's that community thing again of like having the support around them to encourage them to do it, but also to like teach them what they might have done wrong. I'm thinking about learning a guitar part. Be like, no, do it like this.
Yeah, and not being intimidated. I think, like you said, Denmark Street is great, but it can be like, oh, Jimi Hendrix used to buy his guitar here. Like, Jimmy Page still buys his guitars from Regents. Like, what am I doing here?
We saw Jimmy Page, didn't we?
Did you?
No, we did.
Maybe I didn't see Jimmy Page.
The other, like, ages ago. You did?
Maybe you did. If I saw Jimmy Page, I'd have freaked out. But, yeah, it's not being intimidating. And I think, like you said, pace, taking it at their own pace. And also, like, I don't know what it is about this space. And look, like, I haven't grown up as a Youngblood fan. I've known Dom, so it's, like, a different kind of side of the, you know, but I think even as a Jungblut fan coming down here, and like, just even if they're by themselves, looking around and being like, oh, like, these are like my people. They're writing a note that like, I can relate to, like, oh, this music is, and you know, already feeling like, oh, I'm in a space that like, I'm like safe in, even if I don't know anyone here. There's people all around who have like got the same mentality as me, writing on the wall. And I just think that does make it less intimidating, you know?
And the writing on the wall thing happened so sort of spontaneously. Yeah. It's really brought the venue to life. It's the best decoration that you could have had. And if you spend some time just going through the wall and seeing some of the stuff that people have written, there's some really beautiful stuff there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, again, another
as
announcement.
As you said that, Ed, I looked up and one thing says GIMP and another one says... actually, it might even be too much swearing for me.
Oh,
yeah.
Obviously, yeah. Someone taller if it was on the ceiling.
Yeah. Was it you?
Busted.
Generally, we were saying that the Youngblood fans are all really well behaved in that they've taken this letter that we'd written saying, please don't write on the speakers, and then they haven't done it at all.
They haven't.
You can see literally every other part of this room is covered in writing, even the floor over by the stairs. But we've obviously don't want them to write on the speakers.
No, we've had a change of heart.
Oh, really?
No, we are about to open up the speakers as fair game for writing.
Oh, my God, really? Yes. Oh, my God, they're going to go fucking nuts.
I don't know if you know what you're getting yourself into.
I don't know if you know what you're saying. Look at the pool table.
I think if we do that, it sort of means we're accepting we're not taking the speakers back.
That's so. Why we did another gift.
or if we do, maybe there'll be more valuable and more of a collector's item.
Actually, yeah. We'll get Dom to sign one of them.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
That's it. So you heard
Bobby
it here first.
Will sign them. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Yes, please. Definitely. Yeah. But like, you know, you've spoken previously just about embracing chaos and kind of that aspect of serendipity and just like seeing what happens when you get all these kind of cool creative people together. Was there anything that surprised you once this happened that you weren't expecting, and it's just like, wow, they've done this? I mean, the writing is something. Was there anything else?
That's a good question. What? I mean, every day is a new surprise.
Yeah.
It honestly is. I think it was, just kind of repeating myself there, but it was so amazing to see people come together immediately. Like, as soon as we opened, people were hanging out down here.
Yeah.
I think part of it is the positivity among the fans as a whole. And certainly I was wondering whether opening a place like this would be possible to invite trouble or some sort of negativity, but that's not happened in the slightest, which I think makes, you know, that's quite a special thing for it not to have sort of gone that, you know, had any issues at all that I'm aware of.
Which, yeah, we never, because everyone looks after each
everyone's
other.
Everyone's very
well
behaved, everyone genuinely cares about each other. When the fans come in, they are respectful. And if you say, look, can we just not do that? They'll be like, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
So it's all, makes it a bit special. I've worked in venues all of my working life and this is different.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, like, you would be working with, you know, enormous stadiums and huge venues and like very large
and tiny venues as well, which is where indeed. I grew up in. But yeah,
yes, so. Yeah. I mean, what are some of the challenges about kind of working with a smaller venue here in terms of delivering that pro audio?
It depends on what's happening on stage and what's happening with the audience. What we do try to do here is not have it too loud, because it's quite a small room. And I think that even though we've got quite a lot of PA here, it's more so that you can run it so that it's quality as opposed to slamming people against the wall. And we've had a couple of learning experiences over different shows. We've had a couple of visiting sound engineers, which have maybe got a bit too excited about the great big PA. And that's something that certainly you have to be careful of. And again, there's going to be quite a wide range of age groups in here. Certainly for that opening day, there were some quite young children in here, and at that point I was like, right, I'm really managing the sound engineer now, because during the day you've got to be careful of that. And so certainly the sound pressure levels are something that we're conscious of, but then the other bit is just to be able to make sure you can hear everything clearly. So, you know, if you've got a drum kit there, just like get the vocals up and then leave it to it. Sometimes less is more.
Yeah. I mean, could you actually kind of walk us through the setup here? I mean, what kind of speakers do we have? And
so this is The SRX 900, the SRX 906, which is our sort of like our mid-range powered line array that comes in at this level, and certainly for a venue like this, it might be a little bit over spec'd for what people would usually put in, but it looks absolutely amazing. And I think that when we put
rock
that
and roll,
in,
you're baby.
Like, it's like very much like, yeah, that's the speakers that we want.
Hell yeah.
And then it means that you can, you know, you can run it at a nice level and still have that clarity. And then the monitors, we used the PRX 900s. And again, it's all powered to make it easier for the guys here to set up. And again, it's about that clarity, about getting the vocal above everything else. I think the biggest challenge in a small room like this is the rest of the band is up at a level, and it's the singers which find it the hardest to be able to do their show. So that's in a venue like this, those are the people you've got to support right at the start. If it's a sound engineer, get it so they're comfortable, they can hear themselves, you can hear the vocal across the rest of the mix, and then everything else you're sort of putting in where it fits and where you need it to.
Yeah, yeah. And when you say powered, that means the amp is actually in the same speaker, is that right? Yes. Okay. And is there any other tech that's particularly
Everything's moved on.
Everything's important.
They're all tiny little computers now. So each one is like powered, but it goes onto a network. Compared to speakers, when I started off, everything has got so much smarter. And you're talking about technology moving on. Yes, it's a big deal. And you almost need to be a network engineer as much as an audio engineer. But that's one of the things that we're trying to help people understand. And then that's a transferable skill. That's like something that people can go and, you know, sort of take further.
Yeah.
We always say that nobody loves speakers more than Ed. This man loves speakers.
I do love speakers.
And now we love speakers.
Oh, fantastic.
It's infectious.
Yes, yes, strong
agree.
It's
true, every band that's played here has been like, the sound was fucking amazing.
It's like one of the first things that people say. And also I think it's so important. I mean, we played a gig, my band, the other night, in a much bigger space than this, and it was just horrible. And it sounded okay from maybe the audience, but being in it was like, it was not an enjoyable experience. And I think having a setup like this is so, maybe not rewarding, but like satisfying for an artist to play with. And also it's such an opportunity for a small space. And like, granted, we will have bigger artists come and do stripped back sets. We had like Return to Dust, who are becoming quite big in America, play a stripped back set. But also, you know, the aim is to have bands who are literally up and coming, who would play a 50 to 100 cap, but the speakers are like, I don't know what they're called, like the ones on the stands that just...
They're not our speakers.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not this setup.
Yeah.
The other ones, yes.
And I think, again, so when someone's on a stage like this and they're learning, as a sound engineer, one of the things that you should be doing is making them feel comfortable. I mean, in some ways, the most important thing is getting the stage sound right so that they can hear themselves and they can enjoy playing. Mm-hmm. And then you worry about what's going on afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's as much people skills and making people feel comfortable as anything else.
Often you don't hear that from sound engineers. It's one of the first things I said to you after our first meeting is like, thank you for explaining everything so fully, but never patronizing or never thinking that I don't want to know because I'm like on the creative team or because I'm a girl, and I'm very much a girl. Like I dress like, you know, blonde hair and stupid lipstick. So often people will dismiss that, but Ed never ever does. He treats everyone exactly the same and makes everyone comfortable, which I think is really valuable and something that we give a shit about as well, you know?
Big time.
Absolutely. The music industry has a very checkered past in terms of, you know, treating everyone equally and with respect, and it's always great to hear positive examples of people doing it right. So thank you for that. That's absolutely spot on. But I'm wondering, is there, you know, you've kind of balanced this beautiful space where the audio isn't overwhelming. It's very high quality. It's very powerful, but it's not overstated. Was there anything else that you had to take into consideration in terms of balancing out this community space where people feel comfortable and respected, but also where you have this very powerful audio that's just ready to go anytime in terms of the layout? Or,
I think there's defo an accessibility for people have all different needs, and like Ed was saying, it's important to accommodate that because we want everyone to have a good time. I do think that's where your super important because you're always on hand to make it right.
Yeah, and I think going to the layout with the stage, one bit that we noticed when the stage was that side was that people would be coming in and then sometimes some people just need to get out of a space.
Yeah.
And if the door was over there right past the stage and you've got to go through everyone, it made it a little bit less comfortable. And so I think having it this point of view with your, you know, route that you can escape up there, that's one thing that's just made it a little bit more accessible for people.
Yeah, 100%. And having the shop space upstairs, yeah, where they can go and, yeah, they don't, yeah, have to leave the, yeah, venue, but they, yeah, can go and just like take a minute. All of our display cabinets upstairs, we had them like custom made, so you can just, they're like roller shutters, so you can just wheel them down, lock them, jobs are good done. So people can just hang out in the space when we've got bands on or whatever down here as well, which I think is, it gives them that breathing room, yeah, that lots of people definitely need.
And I think that's important for all venues sometimes, the noise or the intensity of people. You know, even I will just want a couple of 5 minutes sometimes to, yeah, get away from it so you can come back and enjoy it again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, was there a moment, that open question, where you just thought, we've crushed this. This is great with the speakers and with the sound and with the gig space. I mean, was that like from the moment you had a gig, or was there a particular moment when you just thought, this really works?
And I think for me, it was going to be the Velvet Hand.
Me too, yeah, yeah. That was like, we fucking did
all
it.
Filling place, yeah. Yeah.
It was, yeah, like the whole full room. It was this setup. The sound was amazing. Everyone was like rocking. There was people coming in off the street that had never heard the band before that were like, this is amazing. It was really fun.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
What about you, Bubs? Did you have a different one?
Well, when it just felt like it all kind of came together. I don't know. For me, it was like, you know, this is the first time managing a space. I mean, for all of us in the team, first time opening a shop, first time doing a venue. And it is intimidating when you're like, oh, we've got like, I don't know how much it is, but I'm assuming 50 grand plus worth of gear.
Presents.
And, yeah. And being like, oh, and I've got a, and it just all came together in its right time. And I think that was really beautiful. And also when we were talking about like the speakers being intimidating, I think like I still feel like that. I'm like, right, I've got a band on. I've never like engineered, or I'm getting into it. And then I like turn everything on and it just sounds so good. And I know this almost sounds like a paid ad, but it really just like, I don't know, Ed set the, you know, the desk up really well. We had a gig on Friday or Thursday and I just turn it on and it just sounds so clear. And like I said, like coming from playing gigs in pubs and clubs where it is not clear and it takes 2 hours to get a guitar to cut through, a vocal, that's whatever, to just turn it on and it's like, yeah. You know, that just feels so like reassuring, and then I can have fun, and then everyone can have fun, and yeah, you know, yeah,
that's such a good point. I mean, one of you said it earlier, it is about very much the like the band feeling comfortable, and then you have a great performance, and then you know, you can sort out everything else, but it's first and foremost about the folks on stage and putting them in a safe space to really express themselves. That's fantastic. I mean, when you get folks coming in and seeing gigs and experiencing the gear and how things are set up, is there something in, like, do people come and ask you about anything in particular? Are people curious about something to do with the setup here?
I mean, yeah, people are curious. I mean, even when there's not gigs on, people always ask, like, what's going on? Because there's these speakers. Like, you know, if there was, like, an amp, it'd be like, you know, but there's this, like, massive rig where people are like, I want to hear what is going to go through these speakers. So people are always intrigued. Yeah, absolutely.
That is so, so cool.
And I think one thing is that the venue's been here a year, and a year might seem a long time, but it's still going through a learning process. And so there's still going to be things that we're going to be doing over the next 6 months and the next year to develop the system again and make it even more accessible for people. And we're still looking at doing the recording idea.
Yeah,
and so being able to set the desk up so people can do multi-track recording down here, and
I think that's so fucking cool because, like, you never get that in small venues ever. Mm-hmm. It always sounds awful.
Yeah.
But you just don't even have that option. So for people to be able to do that here, I think is a real... I mean, you and Ussie are going to be down here...
All the time.
Non-stop.
Yeah, it's going
to be... have to get like another member of staff.
I know. I think also, like, it's just making things so accessible, but, like, to smaller artists, I think what's so nice and why I feel so proud to be a part of it is, you know, we've got two worlds colliding, which is the Youngblood team and JBL team coming together in nothing other than just wanting to showcase and make a space. And it's so far from, you know, typical like industry capitalism, we need to make money, blah blah blah. And you know, there's always going to be a thing of like trying to cover our costs or whatever, but it's really like that, like, and what's been told from me from above, and is just like, let's make this a cool space, and having that freedom where we don't need to, you know, like, you know, you go to a venue and they're charging 20 quid for a 50 cap, and like, we don't need to do that. You know, we don't need to hire bands that are gonna bring, like, we can just put whoever we want on, whoever's bringing a vibe, whoever we feel like has got the energy, and give them a chance. Or even if it's, you know, having like, we want to do like open mic kind of, but curated like so far or whatever. And then having the recording idea for like artists that wouldn't get that chance, you know. I think that's what's so important to me, at least.
Yeah, 100%.
And yeah, with my position in JBL, I'm lucky that the people that I'm reporting to are supporting that. And that's definitely a longer term plan, because it means that if, you know, these developing artists can have a, you know, sort of bit of support, then it's better for everyone. On the opening day that we did, I think one of the bands that I actually liked working with the most was the first band on. So the
Sasha Assad,
And so they were not Rabbit in the Headlights, but they were right at the start of their thing. And I think I appreciated them the most because
they're good as well.
But they were enjoying it and they were really appreciating it. So
she's really cool, Sasha. But I think that is, it's giving people that opportunity. And also, I mean, it is curated. We want people that play here to be good. We don't want them to suck. But you have to, like, it's like Nirvana always said, like, they were, like, so shit for, like, 5 years because they were just, like, rubbish. You have to play gigs to get better, and you have to learn, and you have to... And to have that support at such a small venue of, like, amazing sound system, people that understand it, people that want it to sound good, is really important for, like, expression, not just for people's careers, but for people to express themselves, you know.
And because the venue isn't focused on having a bar or making money, you can almost have it as, it's almost like a rehearsal space for people, and so you can have a, like, an audience at the same time as you're rehearsing, and it doesn't matter if you make a mistake or start talking halfway through. You can have those learning experiences, I think, which are part of the fun.
You know, like, comedians do, like, work in progress nights. That's something that we've always discussed, as like a work in progress gig for someone who's work in progress gig for someone who's maybe like a bit bigger than this size venue, but they want to try out some new stuff or work on their set list or whatever. So it's, it's a unique setup, I think, which is cool.
It really is. Absolutely. And you've kind of mentioned the word education there in the last sentence. And now, Elle, you're obviously the creative director here, and it doesn't look anything like a classroom, but I know it is very educational. What's your kind of approach to making sure that people are learning while they're here?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, I think, like, teach education in a non-traditional sense is one of the most important things. And I think, I mean, it's giving people that, like, agency to learn themselves, giving them the tools and the support, but also empowering them to, you know, run with it and teach them themselves. So we kind of set the whole space up with that in mind, and the tools everywhere. Also, I think an important bit is, like, we all come out and, you know, we're not, like, holed up in our offices. We'll all come out and chat to the customers or the fans or, like, whoever's hanging around, whether that's me or Ed or sometimes even Dom, but, like, and, you know, Tristan, you, everyone's available to, like, be there and accessible for people to ask questions and
I think
understand.
That's one of the most important things, actually. Coming down here, you will get people just hanging out, and it's important to say hello to them and to make them feel, because sometimes they can be a little bit intimidated. And so if I just say hello to start off with, it all of a sudden opens up that next level of conversation, which is important.
And we don't kick them out if we're like, I mean, obviously if it's like confidential, then it's different. But for the most part, what we're doing isn't confidential. We're just...
I get them to quite a lead sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I think also like the main thing, like you were saying, is the transparency and like the fourth wall isn't there. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's like unique. And it's not as it, you know, we're not sitting people down and telling them how we're doing it, but it's so like open that, you know, somebody who's, and there's plenty of people who come by the shop, you know, I'm in the shop all the time, who are wanting to be musicians, but also in fashion mm-hmm. and maybe in management and stuff. And they can come and tell me about it, but also they can like see how it's being done. And like, you know, they know who's behind it. Mm-hmm. And like, sometimes you look at a brand and you're like, I don't know how that works. Like, whereas with us, it's very much like, oh, you know, Elle Scholes, she's the creative director, you know, Nancy, you know, Tristan, you know, Bob. Mm-hmm. And like, you see the moving parts and you think like, oh, I want to be like that. And that's that part, you know? And it just feels like, it's like, yeah, very see-through.
Yeah. We've even, I mean, literally like making physical that point, we have the like old school tailor's window in the shop upstairs where you can see through into the design studio, so it does give people that, I mean, we do have a blind on it for when necessary, but it does give people that like insight, and they can see the jewelry desk and you can see me and Nancy drawing. I think that's really important. And we also make videos on it, which this has got me thinking we should do one with you, really, on the speakers,
fully,
like a cinematic one,
yeah,
cool. So we'll make videos of like how the process of things, which I think would be a Brat Cave one, would be really sick. Actually, we should do that.
TLDR,
you heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Yes, phenomenal. That's so interesting. I mean, you kind of mentioned the fact that there's this kind of radical transparency, if you like. It's very empowering, it's very inclusive, and it's giving people visibility of places they can go in their career, perhaps. Now, you three have had such incredibly interesting careers so far. I mean, do you think that there are opportunities now in the music industry that maybe didn't exist when you started, or like, do you think things are opening up? I mean, you seem to be kind of rewriting the rule book here.
I think in Dom's world, definitely. In the Youngblood world, he's like, I mean, I always say, like, he's put his money where his mouth is. Like, he's made this. He's not just gone, right, I've had a hit, I'm going to just sort of crack on with my shit. He's like, right, we're going to make something for the people to go to, and my friends are going to come and work there, and we're going to do it, you know? I think that, I mean, this is like, I would say the whole Youngblood world is non-traditional, and that's, given us space for...
Yeah, and I'd have said that it's... maybe sort of a chance for people to have a much wider range of skill sets is important now. And rather than just being, you know, sort of a straight down the line sound engineer, you have to learn about other things as well. And part of it is about understanding the people skills, understanding some of the bits in and around what happens with the show, and then understanding the fact that a venue like this is better because of the other bits upstairs. And so I think that's
symbiotic.
I think that's where career paths, certainly that's where my career path went. The wider my skill set got, the easier it was to get involved in something like this. And so hopefully if people are coming down and learning from these two and maybe spending a little bit of time with me, that's what they might get out of it.
Yeah, it's also
part of
it's not
just have fun though. Make sure you're doing that.
That's kind of
have
what
fun.
I was going to say. It's like, it's none of it. It's like not, I think nowadays you don't have to be defined by like one job, which is what's really important to all of us, is that we like that there's like the space to do all these different things. Like one day you might be doing sound engineering for a gig, and then the next day you're playing a gig, and then you know,
and then the next day running a venue or worrying about the floorboards,
one time plumbing a coffee machine in.
Yeah.
So be versatile, have fun. I mean, this is solid advice for anyone listening. Speaking of which, if there's anyone tuning in or watching us on YouTube and you'd like to share one piece of advice with them in terms of getting into the music industry or getting into audio, what would it be?
Mine would be like, keep fucking going. Like, it's never linear. I've lived like a million lives in my life of like ups and downs. There is no like peak point. You don't hit the top of the mountain. You just keep riding. I mean, it's a cliche for a reason, but it's true. It's 100% true. You just have to like take it where you can get it, ride the wave and see what happens. Try and enjoy every bit, you know? Like, find some joy in every bit, because there always is. It's really cheesy, but it's true.
And I think from a career point of view, one of the biggest things that has an impact is the people you're with rather than what you're doing. Mm. And so you can have a job that on paper looks like exactly the thing that you wanted to do. And if you're just not with the right people, you're not going to be enjoying it as much. Whereas you can be doing something that you didn't think was what your aim was. But if you're with the right people, then life's going to be great.
That's so true. By the reason that I worked at the Hawley Arms, I worked there for years and years, but the original reason I started, I was creative concept designer at House of Fraser, and I got made redundant when Sports Direct took it over. And I was like, what the fuck am I going to do? I need to pay my rent. Started working at the pub. At the time, I was like, I can't believe I'm working at a pub again. I've been doing this since I was 15. And actually, like, the pub is where I met like the love of my life, all my best friends, Dom, who now is one of my best friends and now employs me in my dream job. Like, none of it would have happened if it wasn't for that like shimmy in my life. So you just got, yeah, the people are the most important.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to say, is like, have trust in the path, especially if you're dreaming big. Keep on that and be determined. And I think, especially for me, like, my path has gone wonky ways, but I think what people always tell me, you know, people I look up to, is just follow it and be determined and have faith. And if it was written your way, because a lot of the time you're like, why the fuck am I back at the pub, or why am I here? And it's like, well, if it was your way, you'd be bored. You know, if you were the director of your life, where's the excitement? And sometimes it does go like this and it meanders. But I think just keep having faith and trying to not predict the future. You know, yeah.
Yeah. Great advice.
That is some brilliant advice, actually. Probably, I'm in awe.
Yeah. I know. Bobby's all like 21 as well. He's so wise. 22. Sorry.
That's awesome. That's such good advice. Sage advice, my friends. Brilliant.
Thank you.
One of the things that's so inspiring about what you're doing here is that you're actually, you know, it's not typical of this digital age where everything is sort of compartmentalized and it's virtual and it's, you know, you're actually creating a space in real life where people can come together. I mean, what do you see as the role of these kind of spaces in the future of music and the future of communities?
I think they're imperative.
Essential. I think that we're losing too many of them too quickly. Mm. I think that while obviously sort of digital age and social media is important, people get a lot of support from that, the in real life thing needs to be, you know, sort of treasured and supported. Mm. And once you lose those spaces, it's very hard to get them back. This is why this is such an interesting sort of project, because we're actually creating something new. Well, these two are, and I'm sort of on the side a little bit.
All of us, definitely. None of this would exist without you either.
I think it's really, really important.
Mm. I think so. I think being somebody who's off this kind of digital age and coming out of lockdown at like 16 and whatever and feeling very much scared of going out, it is about making a place enticing. Because the truth is, for me, it's like, I don't go out as much as maybe you lot did when you were my age, because it's like, it's almost sometimes intimidating, and you know, there's so much you can do at home, and you all these endorphins you can get on your phone, which sounds crazy to say, but it's reality. And it's like, well, why would I go out? And it's trying to build a space where, you know, we're living in a time where things are expensive, can we make it more affordable? Time where we feel, at least I feel a little bit judged, can we make it like more, you know, freeing and building that kind of space. It is hard. I think it is imperative, but it's easier said than done to make a space for people to come. I'm off that generation where I do find it hard to go out, you know, because there's so much. We lived at home for 2 years and we were addicted to my phone or whatever.
Mm. Yeah.
So
you can't just open a space and expect it to work. You have to give it like heart and give it spirit, which is what you do so well here. Yeah. Like, Bobby is the heart of this place, like the beating heart. But that's why people come, because you've given it that soul.
Yeah.
Which is more important than anything. Yeah.
Yeah. And leading the way. It's leading the way with like bringing our friends down here, being passionate, you know, showing it through social media, but showing it being real. And then people might want to join.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That is genuinely beautiful. I love it. Brilliant. But like, Ed, coming over to yourself with your kind of pro audio hat on, when people come down here and they actually see the setup, do you think it broadens their horizons about what's possible? Because it's not every day you get to see this pro audio gear in the wild.
And it's not. I mean, but it's such an important part of what people used to sort of get when they were going to gigs and going to shows. And I think that for certainly, as Bobby was saying, people that can come down and just dip their toe in it without, you know, like going through that, you know, being a little bit scared or having to pay for a ticket and seeing it, it's all of a sudden going to just make people realise that, okay, that is a world that maybe I'd be interested in. That is part of the mechanism that goes on behind it. I mean, you know, people are used to seeing arena shows or festivals or these big organisations that are huge, huge activities for huge sort of like teams of staff. To be able to also see that it happens at a grassroots level, and that, you know, this is a world as well, I think it's important. And in some ways it's not, you know, the pro audio is an important part, but it's the other bit around it that's almost more interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, phenomenal. That's absolutely beautiful. I mean, just I was noticing your JBL t-shirt there, and of course we are here celebrating, you know, this year the 80th anniversary of JBL, the most youthful brand that's 80 years old I've ever come across. And so we're kind of talking about the past, the present and the future of audio. So I'm wondering, just an open question to all of you, when you think about the future of sound, the future of audio, the future of music, the future of creativity, what gives you the most hope, or what excites you the most about the future?
The fucking kids.
Yes.
Have you seen? Look at it. Look at it. Yes. They love it. They care so much. Yeah. And especially, I'm the same as Bobby. I've always, like, I didn't grow up as a Youngblood fan because I'm old. So I didn't know, it didn't exist when I was a teenager.
It's all relative, I can assure you.
But what that community, they, if you ever go to a Youngblood show, they're like, spirit and excitement and care and like hope of the audience is just unbelievable. Like, the kids are going to save us 100%. I really think that.
And I think it's important for technology brands to support that creativity and to make it interesting and easy for people to do. And that's why I love this product. And obviously, yeah, that's a little bit of a conversation, yeah. But it looks, you know, attractive. It makes it easy for people that are learning in something which, again, can be quite intimidating when you're dealing with the pro stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think that for, you know, sort of like our people that are designing the technology, that's the one of the things that we've got to keep in touch with. And particularly with the spectre of AI hanging over us, in a whole load of creative things, we've actually got to make sure that people are still, even if you're not doing it to make money, just creating for the sake of creating is worth doing. That keeps you, that makes you feel alive. So to make it easy for people to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bobby said this is like a playroom before, with like all the like exciting toys in here. And I think that's like so important, like play, being able to express yourself and like still do that. Yeah.
I think that's like what you said earlier, really, like, has resonated with me about having so many tools, but maybe almost getting overwhelmed with it. And I think that's an important kind of distinction, is that remember why you're making it and why you're performing, and not lost in the perfection of what. I think that's like almost a balance. And I think it's exciting. What's hopeful is the amount of possibilities it's going to have through advancement, but also through like affordability. And, but yeah, it's always just remembering what the source is of.
It's a fight to give to keep access for that for people, and to not be like you say, like affordability and opportunity, and even just like culturally, I think it's a fight to make sure that people still have room to play and experiment and express. But it's like one worth having, you know?
Absolutely. It's very much worth fighting for. Well, thank you all, my dear friends, for fighting the good fight. I've got one more question for you, and it's one that we ask all of our guests, everyone from Imogen Heap to A.R. Rahman to Martin Garrix, and they all get to choose a track for our Tidal playlist. So this can represent your hope for the future of music, for the overlap of the next generation with technology, or just one that you like listening to on these lovely speakers. And Ed, you look like you're ready to jump in with
us. No, I'm selection. Absolutely.
Oh, you're
Bobby,
like you look like
I feel. I feel frozen by it, yeah.
Wait, yes. I'm going to go for your least favourite, my favourite. Yeah, 100 Gex, Dumbest Girl Alive.
Outstanding.
I love playing it loud through these speakers because it's such a like violent, like aggro noise of instruments, but because the speakers are so good, you can hear all the intricacies. And I think it's like, it makes you want to dance. We always dance when it comes on, even if it sounds awful.
I hated it. Now I love it. Now I've fallen in love.
It's a real like punky, poppy, fun, exciting, and they're like new and progressive and mental, that band. So yeah, that's my favorite.
Killer. Fantastic. Thank you, Elle. Who's ready to jump in?
Okay, go on. I'm gonna go shoegaze. I always go shoegazy, but Kick the Tragedy by Drop 19s. I think it's like completely opposite.
He's so cool, Bobby.
But it's more so, if I wanted to like think about it on this speaker, it's like 9 minutes long, but it's also just like a wall of sound that, like, yeah, I'd urge people to listen to.
Outstanding. Thank you. I'm looking forward to that very much.
Cool.
And Ed, how do you follow that?
With difficulty. Am I allowed to?
Definitely.
I was going to say we should have a bonus Youngblood song.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. So there's a track that someone played me by an artist called Wren. Hello, Wren. And I would watch the whole video about that. It's amazing. And then the other one that I was going to get on your playlist, which maybe these guys need to listen to, it's a band called K's Choice.
Ooh.
And a song called Paradise in Me, which when we were sort of like growing up, we listened to that. And yeah, check that one out.
Can I put you really on the spot now, and you have to choose a Youngblood track to go on the playlist as well?
I know what you're going to choose.
You do?
Funeral now.
Yeah, my favourite's Funeral. But then I was thinking, is Hope for the Underrated Youth an album or a song?
Oh.
I think it's an album.
No, it's a song.
The
album is 21st Century Live.
Because it should be Hope for the Underrated Youth, surely.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a song.
If it's a song,
yeah. We'll just put it on. So whatever it is, we're putting it
put
on.
Put the whole album on if it's an album.
100%, no problem. That's great. Do you want to choose a Youngblood track as well?
I think Hello Heaven. Hello. Yeah, I know it's kind of cliche, but
another 9 minute.
That was the one that had the impact on me. So yeah. Seeing him play that live for the first time, I was like, oh, that's a proper song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, phenomenal. Okay, my own contribution to the playlist, just something that, thank you, just a bit kind of different, and it feels very fresh to me, is an artist called Nina Jirachi, who's from Australia, and her album is called I Love My Computer, and it's super fascinating. She does all this multimedia stuff, and the track is All At Once, so I hope you enjoy it, my friends.
Cool.
So listen, thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you.
Thank you, Elle, and thank you, Ed. That's been absolutely wonderful, and thanks to you for joining us and tuning in today at the Brat Store, where BRAT stands for Beautifully Romanticized Audio Talks. My name's Oisin Lunny.
Smashed it.
Amazing.
Listen, thanks so much for joining us. Find us on the socials. We are at Audio Talks Podcast on Instagram. We have behind the scenes footage, sometimes some goodies, some competitions, and we really hope to see you there. Join us next time, where we will have more fascinating audio talks. Thank you.